Service this evening. Please let's stand. Amen. This is 113 in your hymn book. Thankful you can have a place to go where you can leave your burdens. I know I am.
If this world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, oh, just remember in his word how he feeds the little birds. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Yes, leave it there. Just take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. And if your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, my Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, if you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Burdens to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. Yes, He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Yes, leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord. And when your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, He will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Yes, leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen. God bless you. This is 373 in your hymn book.
Once my heart and soul were fettered, seeking shepherd found me.
Service this evening. Thankful that all of you made it out. I know there's many out sick and have things going on, but it's good to be in church. Amen. Lord willing, after service this evening, the 14-year-old group and up will practice a song as that allows. So, I have an announcement here from the cleaning crew and the deacons. Please take your tissues or any other trash-related items with you when you leave the sanctuary. And I know that'll be a big help to them, and having three children that make their own donations of tissues, that's something I have to watch out for as well. But if you can take those things, it'll definitely help to get all of those little germ-infested things into the right receptacle, and that way Brother Joel and the rest of the cleaning crew does not have to pick those up. So we appreciate your support in all of that. God bless you. I have a couple of praise reports. A praise report from Sister Dottie Bryant. When Brother Brandon was praying Sunday night for the man with arthritis, I claimed my healing. Every day I would wake up with pain in my shoulders and down my back. Had to move around a while before it left. Monday morning I woke up with no pain, and every day since then. God is great. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Sister Cheryl Cote says, I have a praise report from my children's dad. I went up for prayer during church a couple months ago, and I stood in for Jerry to be healed of stage 4 melanoma cancer, and thank the Lord, the cancer is gone. God healed him. We are giving God all the glory. Amen. Let's give him glory with a hand clap of praise. Amen. God is worthy of our praise. We're on the winning team, so it's okay to cheer. Amen. Amen. As we go to prayer, want to remember Brother Ben and Sister Crystal Wright. I believe they left today for England. They'll be over there for an extended stay, so pray that God protects them and blesses their trip. Sister Debbie Lee is sick. Her doctor says she has the flu, bronchitis, and is also dehydrated, so definitely want to remember her in prayer. Sister Laura Prakash is not feeling well, and also Brother Japheth and his son Jared, they're sick with the flu. An unspoken prayer request for Brother Joel and Sister Christy. Also, Sister Christy and Sister Julie's sister Lisa had to have emergency gallbladder surgery today. Please remember her in prayer for a complete recovery. Olivia Harambasic is sick with the flu. I want to remember her in prayer. Brother David Jeffords is traveling to Colorado, so I want to remember him for traveling mercies. Sister Sabra Swank's grandchildren are not feeling well. And Brother Dewey Moss's son passed away this morning and would like we need to remember him, the family, in prayer, and that's Brother Sam Ventura requested that. Definitely want to remember that prayer request. And Brother Jackson Bryant said, I would like prayer about the bad thoughts the devil tries to give me at night. So I know that the Lord can definitely help in that. I believe he will honor that request. No, Sister Patty couldn't be here this evening. The devil's attacking her with some of her lab levels and things like that. So he's a liar, the devil. And so God's more than able to restore her health and to give her a complete healing. So if you have an unspoken prayer request, make that known by an uplifted hand. Brother Hoover, would you come and take us to prayer over these prayer requests, please? Appreciate all of our deacons and trustees and all that each one does here for the church and the sacrifice they put towards it. So God bless you.
Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. We're thankful, Lord, that we have a place to come, a refuge, Lord, from the things of this world, from Laodicea. We just come, Lord, and we want to put aside everything except for our thoughts of you, our love for you. We just want to express to you what you mean to us, Lord. We ask that you would receive our worship and our praise. Be with every song that is sung. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies, and we thank you, Lord, for moving in the prayer request. Lord, you know all about it. You knew it before it was ever written down on paper or sent over a text or however it was received. Lord, you already knew the need. But you want us to come and express it. You want us to have faith to reach out and ask for it. And that's what we're doing tonight, Lord, in faith. We're believing that you're going to meet every one of these needs, Lord. We believe, Lord, or Jesus, even the ones that weren't expressed with just a hand that was raised, we believe that you're already working in those requests, Lord. Your Holy Spirit's already moving and causing it to be able to come to pass. We just ask that you would be in the remainder of the service, be with Brother Nathan as he ministers, Lord. Be with us as we worship. Lord, may it be a sweet sound in your ear. We give you praise and glory now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brothers, would please come at this time. You can be seated.
Hallelujah, he redeemed me. Oh, I've been born again to win. And I thank God he justified me. And of his fullness have we all received of him. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am.
It's 544 if you don't know it.
New man. Oh, hallelujah, he redeemed me. And I've been born again to win. And I thank God he justified me. And of his fullness have we all received of him. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man.
Amen. God bless you. This is 254 in your hymn book. 'Tis the season, but this is the beautiful Star of Bethlehem is not just it's a Christmas song. It's part of the worship that Brother Trevor and Brother Nathan were talking about. I'm just going to read this little quote. It's at the end of a service, but Brother Bram said, "Now till we meet again, may God of heaven guide you. He who makes the stars to shine bright at night to lighten up the path when it's growing dim. May he lighten your path with the Star of Bethlehem to guide you to a full surrendered life in his word is my prayer." So I just thought that was a beautiful little quote where he doesn't mention the beautiful Star of Bethlehem in the sense of this song like that very often, but just thought that was a beautiful quote. So why don't we try this? 254 in your hymn book.
Oh, beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone. guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, oh, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Oh, give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, oh, shine upon us. Yonder in glory when the crown is won, for Jesus is now that star divine. Oh, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine.
Bless you. Let's stand. Amen. I think you have to stand to sing this song. If you know the motions, you want to do it, that's okay. If you don't, that's okay. But there's no one like Jesus. Amen.
There's no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like Him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like him. Oh yes, I ran around, all over, I searched around.
Jesus. Amen. Well, I just felt led to sing this little chorus. If Brother Nathan wants to sing something else, he'll be up here in just a minute. But just let's just sing this little chorus. It just means a lot to me. I think he sang it Sunday night, but we've truly been made more than conquerors. Amen. Can we just sing that little chorus? G.
We've been made more than conquerors. We're overcomers in this. Amen. Sing it again together. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. And we've been made victorious. Oh, aren't you thankful tonight? You're thankful. His blood. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. We're overcomers in this life. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood.
Let's bow our heads together as they play that softly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the overcoming power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's not just a saving power or a filling power, but Lord, we're so thankful it's a keeping power as well, Lord. Lord, that you can keep us through many dangers, toils, and snares, Father. We're such a blessed people tonight. Father God, I pray that you'd be with this group of people that's gathered here tonight, Lord. And Lord, may you just speak something that would, Lord, help us right where we're at, Lord, and what we're facing. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that are sick and couldn't be here tonight, Lord. Those that are traveling, may you protect them. Lord, so many prayer requests of those that are sick in body, flus and colds and different things, Father, I pray that you'd be with them. I thank you for these testimonies that we've heard of your healing power. Lord, we know that you're able to touch these as well. And Lord, for Brother Dewey Moss and his family grieving the loss of this loved one, Father, I pray that you'd be with them and comfort them in a way that only you can at this time, Father. May your Holy Spirit go to them now, Father. Oh, Lord, there's such a vacancy there when a loved one goes, especially, Lord, to lose a young man like that, Father. I pray that you'd be with them. And may you just come on the scene in a special way. We commit it to you, Lord, not only them, not only that situation, but, Lord, the situations of others that are here tonight, Lord, we commit these situations to you. Lord, we commit this service unto you, Lord. We give you glory and praise because we know that you're more than able to come on the scene for every need that's represented. We pray and ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, to St. John's Gospel, chapter 13. And I was running a little late trying to finish up my studying and get my slides together and had my tie hanging on something. I don't know where it's hanging, and somewhere at the house, and ran off and left it. And so I told Brother Joel, if that offends somebody, I guess they'll have to take it up with the pastor. And I don't know if that'll make me preach better or preach worse, but you just pray for me tonight. St. John chapter 13 and verse 15. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Let's just read it again. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. What an example that he gave us. Amen. The actions of Jesus, what a wonderful example. I can't think of anything that could be greater as an example for us to look at in our life, how to live as a Christian, to look at the very example that he gave us, the life of Christ. And so then Brother Branham would tell us that if the life of Shakespeare dwelt in him, then he would do the works of Shakespeare. He would be a writer. And if the works of John Dillinger lived in him, then he'd have a gun, be a gangster, and things like that, because it would be the life of Dillinger that was living in him. So if the life of Christ is to live in us, then we will be like Christ and we'll do the works that he did. He left us a wonderful example. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself tonight, but I will say this. Here he was, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. St. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So now the Word had come and lived in flesh. Now, down through history, the Word had anointed flesh. The Holy Spirit had anointed men and women, had anointed scribes of old to come and write, and prophets of old that would come. And the Bible said that the Holy Spirit would anoint them. The unction of the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and they would begin to pick up their pen and write what the Holy Spirit was telling them. And the Holy Spirit could anoint them to do things and to say things and to live under a covenant of bulls and goats, of a blood sacrifice in that manner. But because of the fall, the God that had come with the very purpose to dwell in them could not indwell them in the way that he had intended to do until the day of Pentecost. And so because the blood of Jesus had not been shed, we had many examples that were left to us of what a lifestyle would be to live under the covenant of bloods of bulls and goats. And we had many examples of testimonies of what God could do with his great anointing power as he would come and quicken and anoint men like Samson with strength and anoint men like Solomon with wisdom to come and anoint prophets of old to do great signs and wonders, as we've been looking at Moses and different ones that they would see the Red Sea's parted, and they would see the dead raised, and they would see many wonderful, mighty works of God. They would see lions' mouths stopped, and they would receive their dead ones come to life again. They would see so many wonders and miracles, but the very indwelling of God in men, God's desire and God's purpose was to come and express himself, to come by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and to live in men and women. And up until that time of Jesus coming, it had never fully been the way that God had intended it to, because the blood of bulls and goats was not powerful enough to bridge the gap between God and man because of the fall. But now the Word was going to be made flesh and dwell among us. Now the fullness of the Godhead bodily was going to come and dwell in a body that He had created, a vessel, a tabernacle that God could come and dwell in. Brother Branham said that's what God wants. He said it's not just a building with a bell on top, but He said it's a body that Thou hast prepared me. A body that God can walk in. A body that God can talk in. A body that God can move through and speak through. That's what He's looking for tonight. And He gave us a wonderful example because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was giving us a type. He was giving us an example of what the Word would look like when it became flesh. He was giving us an idea of what the actions would be when the Holy Spirit would come and begin to act through human instrumentality and the life of Christ would come and dwell in a human vessel. He was showing us what the Word made flesh would do. How the Word made flesh would act, the signs and wonders that would follow the Word made flesh, the way that the Word made flesh would treat people, the way the Word made flesh would react to an action, the way that the Word made flesh would treat people and pray for people and handle situations. And so when we have this example to look at, then we can recognize, well, what will my life be? What will my life produce? Now, it won't be. There will be a difference because we didn't come sinless like He did. So we can still have temptations and we can still have things that sometimes will fall flat on our face. But the desire on the inside of our heart says, oh, God, that wasn't my desire. That wasn't what I wanted to do. And quickly we'll come around to repent and say, Lord, help me to get up and go forward again. Help me not to keep making that same mistake. But, Lord, may the life that You live come and live inside of me. Amen. He was an example of the Word made flesh. Why? He was leaving us an example that what He had did, that we would do also. That might stumble you tonight, but that's what we've been taught. That's what the Scripture said, and that's what the prophets said. Amen. St. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Again, Luke chapter 5, verse 16, and He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. Again, Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now here He is, the Word made flesh. Here He is, God tabernacled in a body, in a human vessel. Here He is, sinless, come to the world, not like us, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, speaking lies. But here He comes in a sinless body. He had not the nature, in one way He took on Himself the nature of Adam. He didn't take on the nature of angels, but He didn't have the sin nature from the fall that the Adamic race would have. He didn't have the sin nature because He come God's provided way. He come and He was made flesh and dwelt among us. So because He didn't come through the fall, because He didn't come the way that we came, here He is able to live a life that was sinless, yet He was still able to be tempted. Because He came in the same type of flesh that we came in. Amen. Amen. He just came a different way. He came through the virgin birth, but it was still flesh, and the flesh could be tempted yet without sinning. The flesh could be tempted in all manners so that He could know how to intercede for you when you were tempted in different manners. He would know how to do that. And yet here He is sinless. Here He is, His very nature was not to sin, was not to lie, was not to covet, was not to do these things, yet His flesh could be tempted, but His nature was the very nature of God. And yet He would go out and He would get alone to Himself and He would pray. And if He had to do it, how much more do we, sinners saved by grace, have to do it? Now here He is, God in the flesh, the Word made flesh, dwelt among us. Not, Brother Bam says, not two persons, not the second person or the third person. God Himself came and dwelt among us. God reconciling Himself to the world. God projecting Himself, allowing men to come. And the Scripture said, we beheld, we handled, we touched the Word of life. And here He comes and He tabernacles Himself in a body. God made flesh and dwelt among us. Yet He would go and pray. So it was raised the question, how could God in the flesh pray to God? Well, I thank God for a prophet to explain these type of things to us. Shows the Father 1963. He said, a woman said, who did he pray to in the Garden of Gethsemane on a street meeting one time? I said, I want to ask you something. You testified you had the Holy Ghost. Where is it at? What do you pray to? It's on the inside of you, of course. Well, we have the Spirit with measure. He had it without measure. Amen. Many times if we're not careful, we get this denominational mentality that when we kneel down beside our bed and we fold our hands and we begin to pray, that we're praying to God a million miles away somewhere. But I want to remind the devil and I want to remind the believers here tonight that he's not a million miles away. Amen. He's not. You don't have to go through somebody in another country to reach him. You don't have to call the pastor to reach him. You don't have to call somebody down the street or at another church to reach him. You don't have to pray through some other intercessor like Mary or whoever it would be, Jude or one of these that the Catholics pray to. You don't have to go through any second-hand man or anything like that. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's not dwelling some million miles away on a gold throne somewhere. He lives on the throne of your heart. Amen. Amen. He's a present tense God. Amen. I don't have to wait for long distance to ring through to get to him somewhere, but he's a present tense, on time, right now God. Whatever you have need of, he's here tonight for you. And if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's living on the inside of you. You don't pray to God on a cloud somewhere a million miles away, but you pray to the Holy Spirit down on the inside of you, the very same one that Jesus prayed to, the very same way that he prayed to the God on the inside of him. The flesh man of Jesus, the body could pray. The body could have pain. The body could be tempted. The body could go through struggles and toils of life. The body could groan within himself, standing there at the grave of Lazarus and weep for those that were mourning. But yet the God on the inside of that man could speak and say, Lazarus, come forth. And a man 4 days dead could come to life again. Amen. That was more than flesh and bone. It was God on the inside. Amen. It's the same thing in you tonight. Oh, not the fullness, but Brother Branham, remember when he gives us the type of this, he said, now if you go down to the ocean, and he said, you get yourself a spoonful of ocean water, he said, now you don't have the entirety of the ocean, but yet if you would go down to a lab and the chemistry and you would begin to test it, the same chemicals that's in the spoonful is the same chemicals that's out there in the big body of water. So although you may just have a portion of deity dwelling on the inside of you, it's the same chemical life of the blood of Jesus Christ that was in Jesus himself. Amen. Amen. Oh my, no wonder he said we do the greater works. Right. You know, Brother Branham said for years there, he said, now it couldn't be greater. He said that word meant more works that we do. But then you come down to 1964, Shalom in January there. And he said in his day, he took fish where there was already fish and he began to break and it began to multiply creation. But he said in our day, he spoke where there was no squirrels and they came forth. He said, there's your greater works. Amen. You can believe him or not believe him, but I'm a believer, so I just believe. Amen. He said we would do the greater works. St. Matthew 14, verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Constantly, he would withdraw himself and get alone and talk to the God that was on the inside of him. I like the fact that Jesus never had to say, thus saith the Lord. He said, I say unto thee. He was so much God, Brother Arnie. He didn't have to distinguish between when it was God and when it wasn't God. He said, I say unto thee. He said, oh, is it more to say, take up thy bed and walk, or say thy sins be forgiven thee? He said, the Son of Man has power both to heal and to forgive sins. Amen. We had that same ministry come in this age. I know it stumbles people, but it was the same ministry in a different vessel. Amen. Not the same man. The man wasn't Jesus, but it was the same ministry. They get stumbled over the man part, Brother Hoover. They either can't see what the ministry was because they look at the man, or they try to make the man Jesus. But it wasn't either. It was that Jesus was coming and veiling himself again. He could step inside of a body again and speak and say, this is your name, and this is your address, and this is where you came from, and this is what the doctor wrote. He said, oh, I see, you know, rocks coming up, and I see a road sign. sign that says this state or that state and all these different things. And then he's saying, now, was what he told you the truth? Amen. If it was the same man, then why didn't he know what he said? But it was that God was taking control of a human vessel. Amen. I'm just simple enough to believe it tonight. Thank God. Thank God for a love of the truth. Jesus would get away and he would pray and he would send away the multitudes. And many times he would even send away his own disciples so that he could have time to talk to the God on the inside of him. Amen. Then we get so busy. Well, my schedule, Brother Nathan, and I got these obligations. I got to work over here, and I got to do this, and I got to run this errand. I got to help Brother so-and-so, and I got to go do this, and I got to go do that. Oh, if he had to take time out to talk to the God inside of him, how much more we ought to take time to get away for a little while, pull ourselves off to the side from the hustle and the bustle of life and pray like Jesus prayed. Amen. Not to some God a million miles away, but pray to him like he's dwelling on the inside of you. Because if you got the Holy Ghost, he is. Amen. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then pray to him like he's standing right there beside you, longing to be on the inside of you, because he is. Amen. We don't recognize him many times, but he's present whether we recognize him or not. Amen. Many times we feel him, and sometimes I feel like I could, you know, run across the back pews and jump up and down, flip a cartwheel or do something. I don't know how to contain it. Sometimes I feel him so strong, his presence. You don't know whether you're going to dance or speak in tongues or kick over a pew or run through a troop and leap over a wall or what you're going to do, but you got to give vent to the Holy Spirit bubbling up on the inside of you somehow. And then there's other times where you don't feel nothing. Or is it just me tonight? Am I the only one that's that way? There's other times you don't feel nothing. And maybe the guy beside you is shouting and jumping and feeling the presence of God. And you're sitting there thinking, why don't I feel that way tonight? And maybe it's just that the devil's tormenting your mind. Or maybe it's just that the Holy Spirit is wanting to express himself through a different channel in you than he's expressing himself through the guy that's jumping beside you. But he's still present whether you recognize him or not. He's present whether you feel him or not, because he promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. You may be in the darkest trial that you've ever faced. You may be in the lowest valley that you've ever seen. You may be facing things that you don't know the answer to, or the way around or under or over. You may be facing pressures that you don't know how you're going to make it through the pressure. But I want to remind the devil tonight that the same God that brought us this far can take us on the rest of the way, because he's never started a good work and not finished it. Amen. Don't you let the devil lie to you tonight. God doesn't start a good work and then leave it laying like some of us do. We start something, then we lay it aside and procrastinate and move on to the next project. But God, when he starts something, he finishes it. He didn't start on the first day creating and then say, well, I don't know about this moon and sun and light and day and night and all that. I'm just going to I'm gonna lay that aside. I'm going to jump ahead and work on some fish. And then about the time he began to create the first three species of fish, got tired of that and said, no, I'm going to jump up and work on some donkeys and some cattle and things like that. When God starts a good work, he finishes it. Can you imagine if we had created the heavens and the earth? What a jumbled up mess it would have been. Brother Jimmy, we'd have had part of it done this day, and well, I'll wait and finish that another day, and I'm going to go ahead and start on this, and it would have been a mess. But when he started a good work, every time he stepped back and he looked and he said, it is good. Right. Amen. The only thing he stopped and he said was, it wasn't good for a man to dwell by himself. I can say amen to that. Wasn't good for the man to live alone, so he didn't give him another man, a big, hairy, knobby-kneed man with big old saggy lips and saggy belly. He didn't give him another man, Brother Lee. He created him a woman. I'm so thankful, Brother Jonathan, that he didn't create me a man. Brother Luke's saying hallelujah back there. I thank God he didn't give me some whiskered-faced man. He gave me a woman. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If you know, as much as sometimes if we're not careful, you know, the opposite, the female, if you're a man, the female, the opposite sex, or if you're a female, the man, sometimes the opposite sex, as much trouble as that can cause us sometimes, I'm so thankful that he gave me a desire for a woman in this age. Amen. Amen. Even if that's to the point that it's a struggle for you tonight, you ought to be able to at least say, thank God that he gave me the desire for the right one. He would get alone and pray. He would get alone and pray and begin to seek God on the inside of him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he would pray and he would die out to the flesh on the outside and consecrate himself to the God on the inside. Amen. He would come and the disciples, here they were. They were like a lot of us. They were too busy running. They had to go to this revival, and they had to go to that revival, and they had to go to this camp meeting. I have an invitation over here, and I got to go help brother so-and-so over there, and I got to go pray for sister so-and-so over there, and I got to go do this over here. And they got so busy with their ministries and so busy working under the anointing, even though they were doing something great. But here they come up against the hardest devil that they'd ever tried to face, an epileptic demon. And Jesus comes up, and here they are. Peter, Brother Branham begins to dramatize it. Peter said, let me show you how I did it down in this city, boys. And James came around and said, no, let me show you how I prayed for this one over there. And every one of them, all their attempts, they had cast out devils, they had seen the sick healed, but they came up against this demon that they couldn't cast out. And here comes Jesus, and he just speaks some words of peace to the boy, and the demon tries to throw him down and throw him into the fire, but he stands up free and delivered. And Jesus said, this kind is the kind that only comes by prayer and fasting. See, while they were busy running to and fro and seeing who could have the biggest revival and the biggest tent and the biggest congregation and the biggest internet following, here he was off to himself somewhere talking to the God on the inside of him. Amen. Oh my. He's going to teach us how to pray in St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. Amen. Oh my, aren't you thankful to serve a God like that? Amen. Aren't you thankful to have a Father like that, that he knows what you have need of before you even ask? You say, well, what's the use of praying then, Brother Nathan? Because he likes to hear his children come and ask him for things. Brother Branham said he likes to hear his children cry out to him. He said that there comes that widow woman and the unjust judge. He was gonna discredit her at first and not give her what she wanted, but here she came knocking day after day after day. She continually pressed, and finally he got to the point, he said, hey, just give her what she has need of. And if an unjust judge would do that, how much more one that before you even came and knocked the first time, he knew what you were gonna ask him. He knew what the need was, and he was already working in the background to make a way to provide the need for you. Oh my. You don't have to make a show of it. You know, you hear a lot of people pray, and you hear a voice that you never heard before come out of their mouth when they begin to pray, and these and thous and our fathers and all these great, you know, big deep voice. And then you go to talk to them outside. Well, God bless you, brother. How you doing? Where did that voice come from? Our Father, thee, thou, and I, and thee, and we, and, you know, and it's not a show. Amen. When I talk to one of my friends, I don't talk like that. Like I'm putting on the dog, as Brother Branham would say. Amen. I don't have to try to impress God when I pray to him. He's my Father. Amen. If you're trying to impress somebody in your prayer, it's somebody out in the audience or somebody down the street or somebody that they think, oh my, brother so-and-so, the way he says a prayer. Brother Branham told us not to say a prayer. He said, don't say a prayer. Somebody said, oh, say a prayer for me. He said, no, that won't do you no good. Pray one. Don't say a prayer. Don't read a prayer. Pray one. Amen. Amen. Talk to him like he was your closest and dearest friend. Because he is, whether you can recognize it or not. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Amen. That's no knock on any of my earthly brothers in the blood or spiritual brothers or anything like that. I've got some brothers in the natural and the spiritual that have stuck with me through thick and thin. I was thinking the other day, Brother Trevor stuck with me when I was thin, and now he stuck with me when I'm thick. So he stuck with me through thick and thin. But there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Sometimes a friend won't understand exactly what you're going through, but he understands. Sometimes a friend only sees on the surface the conversation and what they know of the history and things like that, but he sees and penetrates through to see the heart of a man or a woman. And he knows what you have need of before you even ask him. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You see, a lot of us are looking for our kingdoms. We're little kingdom builders. Lord, give me a bigger this and a bigger that. He said, but thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Not all about me, not me, I. You know, sometimes, as I've said before, sometimes our prayers looks like a Sears wish list or something, but it's not just, Lord, I need this and I want that, and give Jimmy this and Timmy that and Tommy this, and all that's wonderful. And sometimes we got to pray like that, but sometimes he just wants to have a conversation with us. Amen. You ever have a friend that the only conversation they ever want to have is just to come and ask you for something? I need this. Let me borrow this. Can I have this? And every once in a while you feel like, hey, wait, this is kind of one-sided. A friendship is supposed to be a two-way street that, you know, give and take, and not just give, or take. And a real friendship is that way. And sometimes we want to do all the talking instead of sitting back and saying, Lord, could just speak to my heart. Lead me and guide me what you would have me to do and say. Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. I need wisdom on this decision. I need victory in my life. I need you to come and change me. Thy will be done. Not just someday in a millennium or another dimension, not just in heaven, but thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Didn't say give us this day our annual Ferrari or this, that, or the other. Give us this day our daily bread. Provide for us, Lord. Amen. Give us the provisions that we have need of. Give us food and clothes on our back and a roof over our head, God. Provide for us. Give us this day our daily bread. We worry, we try to stress out about next year and tax season and you know, next Christmas and somebody's birthday 6 months away, and we're trying to figure all that out 6 months down the road. And he said, just pray, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Lord, provide for me the needs of today, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You get all the glory, God. Amen. You have all the power, God. It's not me. It's not about me. It's not my kingdom. It's your kingdom and your glory and your power forever. Amen. Amen. And Lord, don't let us stumble into temptation. Lead us out of temptation, not into temptation. He tells us to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And sadly, this is where a lot of people get hung up, because they can't let go of something that somebody did or said or thought or provoked or whatever it would be. And they keep holding on to that and they can't let it go. Oh, well, so-and-so did this, and so-and-so said that, and this one hurt me, and that one did this, and my daddy, and my pastor, and my uncle, and this one, and that one. And they put all the blame on everybody else and won't ever take responsibility for their own actions, because they're dragging all these things around, and they won't let it go and just say, God, forgive that person. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. My goodness. I called a brother today, minister brother in the message. If I called his name, most people would probably know it, or would have at least heard of it. And I had him on my heart. I'd stumbled across a sermon that he had preached years ago, and I was wondering how he was doing, and I thought I'd call him. And when I called him, I can honestly say, I don't know that I've ever spoke to a more bitter, hurt individual than this person that I was talking to on the other line. Somebody that's gave up confidence on everybody else but him and Brother Branham. I thought, how sad. How sad. It didn't make me hate the man. It made me feel sorry for him. And you could tell the whole conversation, he didn't even hardly know who I was from Adam. But the whole conversation, he was trying to poke and see if he could push some button doctrinally that would rub me the wrong way to pick a fight. And I just kept saying, oh, brother, isn't that wonderful? We just got to stick with the truth. We just got to stay with the truth. There's been so many turn away from it. And after all that Brother Branham taught us, we need to stay with the truth. And he was preaching his version of the truth, even though it was maybe a little different than what I see. But yet, I believe he's a good brother, but he's been hurt. He's been hurt and he's got bitter and he's let it eat away at him. And now he's sitting there ready to pick a fight with anybody, loaded, both barrels ready to go. I thought, God never let me be that way. But it didn't make me want to give up on the brother. Brother Trevor made me want to get in the car and go drive down and knock on his door and say, hey, I just want to let you know I love you. Maybe take him some tithes and give it to him. Maybe he said, I don't have many friends. There's probably not a whole lot of people that treat him nice because of his attitude. But I believe he's a brother. He's just hurt. He's been hurt. And instead of being able to let go of the hurt, he's let it eat away at him and it's made him bitter. And it's easy to see sometimes when it's a preacher. But hey, the message is chock full of people like that. That are so hurt and so bitter because of something somebody did and they can't let it go. And they can't have confidence in anybody because somebody hurt them once upon a time. What a sad way to go through life. If you won't forgive that person, then how can God forgive you? St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, we all felt like Christians when we came in tonight, probably. But this is the life of Christ, the Word made flesh. This is what it's producing. This is what it produced in Christ. And if it produced it back there, it will produce it again. Now, don't go out of here tonight and be ready to give up because you're not there, maybe. No, hey, you know, I feel like I try to show love and extend grace and draw the circle bigger, but I'll be honest tonight. If they dragged me out of the building tonight and dragged me down the street and got a whip and beat me and began, which I shaved tonight so I don't have any beard left, but if they began to pluck what I had out of my head and begin to spit on me and begin to take my hands and try to force them down on a cross and put nails through them, I don't know if I'm sanctified enough to say, Father, forgive. I'd probably be trying to swing around and grab a stick or a rock or something to defend myself. That's our human nature. Amen. I don't think God doesn't expect us to defend ourselves when something's taking place. Don't get me wrong. But his attitude, here he was, the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sins of the world. And his attitude was, Father, forgive them. Amen. They were wrong. They were possessed of an evil spirit that was trying to kill the Prince of Peace. They were possessed of demons out of hell that was trying to kill the very God that had come to save them. And he didn't say, hey, I'm right and you're wrong and I'm going to send you all to hell, you bunch of hypocrites. He said, Father, forgive them. Amen. He didn't just, you know, now it would have been one thing if he would have stood here in Matthew chapter 5 as he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount and he begins to give the Beatitudes, blessed are these that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are the pure in heart. And blessed are these. And blessed are those. And he goes through and he gets to this point. And he's preaching there on the hillside. And he tells them, bless them that curse you. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And my, it would have been one thing. No doubt they could have walked away that evening and they could have nudged one another and said, oh my, you ever heard a sermon like that, Brother Attila? Man, speak words like that? I've never heard anything like that. K. Ephesus has never preached one like that. But I want to say it was more than a sermon. It was more than some compiled notes. It was more than just an oratory to tickle the ears of the people and say, oh, what a great speaker and how powerful are his words. But he proved that he was able to back up what he said. He proved that it was more than talk, but he was able to live St. Matthew 5, verse 44. Amen. He was able to love his enemies and bless them that were cursing him. See, even the ones, I can't remember who said it. I heard a minister say it recently. I don't remember where it was at or who it was at. It might have been one of the minister brothers I was talking to here. locally, or it might have been somebody I listened to. I can't remember where I heard it, but somebody was just talking recently about how that even the ones at the foot of the cross there that didn't recognize who he was, they still were profiting off of his ministry and what he did. There were some that had profited by the healings. There were some there at the foot of the cross that would profit by salvation. And there are others that were profiting off of the material things that they had gathered from him, of his robe, and they begin to part his garment, and they begin to gamble over it. And they were, you know, and there are people that have made all kinds of money in the name of Jesus. There's people that have chalked the Christian bookstores full of material that some of them probably don't care anything more about God than anything, but it's a dollar bill behind it for them. And they've profited off him that way. There were some that when Brother Branham was here, they would invite him to come preach, not because they agreed with him, not because they were following the doctrines that he taught, but because it would draw some crowds. And yet Jesus could pray for them hanging on the cross, and here they are dividing his garments. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Amen. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 31. Here he is. He's coming down to the crucifixion, and he begins to have a conversation with the disciples. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Satan is on a mission. Satan is out to get you, Simon. Satan wants to destroy you, Simon, because even though he doesn't have the foreknowledge that I do, he knows that there's something special about you, Simon. He recognizes there's an anointing on you, Simon. I wonder how many Simons we have here tonight that maybe God's trying to use you. Maybe since a little boy or a little girl, God has tried to use you to be a blessing to somebody, to try to be a help to somebody. But Satan has constantly picked at you and tried to hinder you and try to upset you and try to get you to drag yourself away into sin, or try to get you to give up and say, "I'm just a failure. How could I ever help anybody?" Oh, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice he didn't say when you're converted, say, "Well, I've arrived, so I'll pull back by myself and forget everybody else and every man for himself." When you're converted, you'll have a desire in your heart to go help somebody else to see what you've seen. I prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." Now, Peter wasn't just puffing smoke here. He wasn't just mincing words. Peter's heart at this moment, he really felt this way. Anybody try to come after Jesus, he proved it in a few verses that when they came after him, he was the one that pulled the sword and began to try to take the man's head off. "I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." But Jesus has looked a little further down the road than Peter has. And Jesus knows what's coming around the corner, and he's preparing Peter for the future. I wonder how many times he's looked in our life, and he's looked down our path, and he's looked down our road, and we thought, "Lord, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be that, and I've got this situation under control, and I'd never do this, Lord, or I'd never do that." And he begins to warn us, maybe through a preacher, maybe through a tape, maybe through a scripture, maybe through something we heard on the radio or whatever it would be. And we begin to get these little subtle warnings. "You better be careful." What's he doing? He's warning you. There's something down the road that maybe you're not aware of, but he's aware of it. He knows all about it. "I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Can you imagine the shock to this man? No way you could have convinced Peter this. This was the very one that he claimed a few days earlier when Jesus, they begin to see the multitudes begin to leave, and then the 70 begins to leave in St. John chapter 6. And he turns and he asks him, "Well, are you going to go too?" And Peter said, "To whom would we go, Lord? Only you have the words of eternal life. Oh my, that's how I feel about my Lord Jesus. That's how I feel about this message that he sent this day. Where would I go? Where would I go? Amen. There's nothing back there for me. Amen. I'm not interested in going back to a bar stool. I'm not interested in going back to the Baptist or the Pentecostal or the Nazarene. I couldn't sit there and swallow that stuff down, Brother Jimmy. I've come too far. Where would I go? And he recognizes, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter recognizes, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But when he begins to talk about Peter, and he begins to tell Peter, hey, you're going to deny me? You're going to deny that you even know me? Peter said, not me, Lord. No, you got the wrong guy. Lord, you know, I left everything. I left my business. I left my fishing boat. I left my family heritage of our fishing business. I left my church back there. I left this one. I left that one. I separated myself from family. Don't you know who you're talking to? I left everything and followed you, Lord. I'll go with you to death. No, Peter, there's something coming down the road real quick here, just in a few hours, that you're not aware of. And I'm just trying to prepare you and tell you what's coming. But you know, he recognizes that this man is going to betray him. This man who's been a disciple, this man who has seen the dead raised, who has heard the mute begin to speak, who has talked to the deaf and they've conversed and had a conversation. As Brother Hoover sings the song, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Amen. A blind man was able to call him out of the audience and say, hey, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face yesterday, but back there and towards the back of the crowd, I see the big fisherman back there. I recognize why they call him the big fisherman. Now, there he is standing, broad shoulders and tall, and looks like he could pick up a tree trunk and carry it around. I can see the big fisherman. The blind had seen this man. The deaf had heard him. The mute had talked to him. But he's getting ready to deny the very one that did all those things. How could you have convinced him of it? And he's getting ready to deny him. And Jesus doesn't say, Peter, you disgust me. Peter, you're a failure. Peter, I've tried and I've tried. I've tried to give you grace. I've tried to show you miracle after miracle. You've sat and you've heard every sermon I've preached. She was there for the Beatitudes. You heard me say all these things about how to treat those that persecute you and despise you. You heard me say all these things about how the Son of Man would be taken and crucified with wicked hands. And you've heard all these things. Shame on you, Peter. Shame. No, he says, Peter, I've prayed for thee. I'm praying for you, Peter. I know you're going to deny me in a little bit here, but I'm praying for you because I can see further down the road than the denial too. And I recognize, Peter, and you know what? I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. In a few days, I'm going to turn and I'm going to have my angel come and tell some women, go and tell the disciples. And by the way, make sure you tell Peter because I know he's feeling pretty beat down right now. He's feeling like he can't make it. He's feeling like he's a quitter. He's feeling like just the whole world's against him. He's feeling like how could he ever make it after he's done this thing? Hey, there may be some of you sitting here tonight that even this week you failed and things that you'd be ashamed to get up here and testify to the church about, but I doubt any of you's done what Peter did. And God didn't cast him away and say, I'm done with you, Peter. He said, I'm praying for you, Peter. Amen. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I'm praying for you. And I've got something better coming down the road for you, Peter. Amen. Amen. Don't give up tonight. Amen. Maybe the devil has beat you up and beat you up and beat you up. But you know what? It's Wednesday night and you're in church. Amen. And people have tried to convince you and you've maybe read websites and maybe family members have come and told you, we don't understand about this and we don't understand about that. And here you are in a message church on Wednesday night. And maybe the devil told you when you came in the back door, you big hypocrite, what are you even doing here tonight? Well, because he prayed for you. Amen. That your faith wouldn't fail. Amen. Even though maybe back down life's road, you got a lot of things to be ashamed about. He's looking down at the end of the road. St. John chapter 17, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now I want to look at some things here for the next few minutes. He's praying, and he says, I'm sanctifying myself. I'm the Word made flesh, yet I'm sanctifying myself. Brother Branham said there were things that he could have done. He was a man, and he had a right to. He said he could have married. He could have did different things. He could have just said, hey, I'm tired of all this, virtue going from me. I'm just going to go and take a vacation. He could have did all these things, but he sanctified himself so that those that were coming forward might also be able to sanctify themselves, because here he was, the Word made flesh, and he was going to live an example of what the Word made flesh could produce. I'm sanctifying myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these only. He wasn't just praying for the 11 there. One of them was a devil, remember? So I doubt he prayed very much for Judas. Neither pray I for these alone. He wasn't just praying for the 11, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. I'm not just praying for the 11, but there's coming a generation and another generation and another generation that'll pick up this book and will begin to read their words and will believe what they've read, even though they didn't see. And I'm not just praying for the 11 that saw the Word made flesh, but I'm praying for those that'll come after and begin to hear about it, and they'll have a desire for the Word to be made flesh in them as well. He didn't just pray for Peter. He didn't just pray for James and Jude and John, and he prayed for you.
Amen.
You're included right here.
That's right.
That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, Brother Branham begins to talk about unity many different times, and if you're not careful, many times when we want unity, and this is a completely different sermon, so I won't try to go too deep into it tonight, but many times when we look at unity, if we're not careful, we begin to get an ecumenical mentality of unity, that we all have to come under a doctrine or a personality or a church building or a movement, or, well, if Brother Hoover doesn't see it the way that I see it, bless God, he's just out because he's not under my intellectual conception of it. No, that's not the type of one he's talking about. That's an ecumenical one. That's the ecumenical, that's the unity that the Catholic Church would like to have us have. Oh, let's just all come together and just agree, that, oh my, we may not see everything the same way, but let's just lay all those things down and just agree on a few of these key things. And that's an ecumenical unity. But we're not talking, I don't want to unify with everybody around the world around a doctrine, or I don't want everybody to have to unify under, well, if you're part of Church of the Open Door, then we can have unity. No, it wasn't about coming under the unity of one church as far as a physical building, but it was the unity of the Spirit and of the Word of God, that we can come under the unity of saying, hey, I believe this word. Amen. And there are parts of it, that maybe you'll pick up and read a paragraph, and maybe I'll read a paragraph, and maybe we'll walk away with two completely different ideas of what that's saying. But if I believe it with all my heart, and you believe it with all your heart, and you believe that Jesus Christ came to save you and shed his blood for you, and we look into that word, and the desire of our heart is, Lord, if I'm wrong, then you're obligated, if you filled me with your Holy Spirit, to lead me and guide me to all truth. That's the type of unity that we can have. Amen. He's never said, Lord, let them all see every doctrine the same way. He said, make us one like we're one in spirit. May they all be one. May they be one in us. The unity is under God's word and his Spirit. That's where the unity is. Amen. Not the unity of a personality move or a doctrine move or a geographic location. Amen. We don't have a Mecca that we go to. This Church of the Open Door is not some spiritual sanctuary that everybody that's bride has to come to. Absolutely not. The unity is around the Word of God and his Spirit. Mark chapter 13, verse 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time has come. He's talking of the coming of the Son of Man. He says, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. So, sometimes I tell my deacon brothers, sometimes as deacons especially, you got to watch and pray. Sometimes you got to watch and pray, or some crazy lunatic will try to slip in with a shotgun or a false doctrine or whatever it be. So you got to watch and pray. Pray without ceasing, be having that conversation with God all day long. But sometimes you got to keep one eye open and say, Lord, I'm praying, but I'm also watching. Because Satan's going about as a roaring lion. Yeah. Or I've told them at least one of you pray and one of you watch if you want to do it that way. Amen. They had some that were on watches, remember, in the army and things like that, certain watches of the night. One would go out and say, this is my watch, and maybe one of you pray while the other one watches. But we're supposed to watch and pray. Be alert. Observe what's going on around you. Don't be swept away by every wind of doctrine. You know, in this age, a man can get up and preach a sermon on Christmas and the whole congregation swayed one way, and then the next guy can get up and preach one on Christmas and the whole congregation swayed the other way. So be not swayed by every wind of doctrine. Amen. My sermon last Wednesday night was not the anti-Brother Trevor sermon. It was the part two of his part one. And we both believe it the exact same way as far as I can tell. We may have expressed it a little different, brought it from a different angle. But when it comes right down to it, we believe the same thing. And yet we had people running to us, one leaning this way and one leaning that way and things. And some of them were high-fiving Brother Trevor and some of them were high-fiving me. And we preached the same thing. You just heard two different things. And if you can be swept this way or that way because Brother Trevor gets up and preaches it or because I get up and preach it, then shame on you for not having more revelation for yourself. Amen. Amen. Know where you stand in the Word. Know where you stand on some of these things. Amen. Some of these things are minors, and we major on a minor if we're not careful. But know where you stand in the Word. Don't get swept away by every wind of doctrine, or you'll get in a tailspin and be, oh, this brother taught it this way, so I guess that's right, Brother Hoover. Oh, no, Brother Hoover taught it this way, so I'll go over here and believe it Brother Hoover's way until next Wednesday night when whoever else preaches next. No. What we were both trying to do is encourage you. You go back and look at the Word. And make a decision for yourself and your family grounded in what the Word said. And look at all that the Word said. Don't just take just the quotes I read or just the quotes Brother Trevor read or the quotes that the different ones of you have read. Go back and look at what the Word says. And don't just let it be a Christmas thing. People get so stirred up this time of year because they're passionate about Christmas. Oh, would to God you could be that passionate about you must be born again and we could really dig in and study that. Search all the quotes on that. Amen. Get passionate about the Word. You start talking about somebody's Christmas tree or start talking about their children and they're ready to get in a fight with you because they're passionate about those things. But my, get passionate about the Word of God. Get passionate about taking a rapture. Get passionate about getting your children to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, that was free tonight. That was off on that side there. But Matthew chapter 26 verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." This is the flesh, the man, the humanity part of Jesus. The flesh didn't want to get beat. The flesh didn't want nails drove through its hand. But yet he's yielding himself to the Spirit on the inside of him. Amen. "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Now, you talk about a paradox. That scripture right there is a paradox. Just about as much as the one where he said, you know, no man has seen the Father at any time save the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And there he was standing right there. And without revelation, that one will throw you for a loop. But where is the kingdom of heaven? It's within you, right? Amen. There he was standing not a million miles away, just in another dimension right there. And he says, Lord, or Father rather, he says, "Let this cup pass from me if it be possible. Nevertheless, not as I will," not as the flesh, not as the humanity, not as the human body that could feel the crack of the whip and that could feel the piercing of the nail and of the crown of thorns, not as the flesh is willing, but as thou, as the Spirit, the fullness on the inside of me wills. Oh, we'd be better off if we'd pray like Jesus. Lord, I'd really like to go do this, but something down on the inside of me keeps telling me not to, and I'm going to yield this flesh part and say, flesh, you're filthy and you're dirty and you're wrong and you keep trying to drag me down, but I'm not going to yield to the desire of the flesh anymore. I'm going to yield to the desire of the nature that's on the inside of me. Sometimes we get stumbled up because our flesh still, you know, it gets tempted and we think, oh, goodness, here I am. Always in the flesh. Well, until we take a body change, we're going to be in the flesh, so you might as well get used to it. And Brother Ram said it's sticky, and you got to die out to it. But if you get the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, there's something down on the inside that keeps telling you, shouldn't have did that. You should have listened when I was speaking to your heart, and I kept warning and warning and warning, but you went ahead and did it anyhow. You might have to pay for that. But he doesn't cast us away. Peter, I've prayed for you. Satan's tried to sift you as wheat, Peter, but I'm praying for you. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch only 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now he's talking about them, but yet here he is talking about himself too. The flesh, the humanity. Brother Benham said he could sit down on a rock and get a headache. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in a flesh body, but yet within that humanity clothed or robed, the life that indwelt that was God himself. And the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. Now he couldn't fall into sin like we do, but he could still be tempted. He could still get sick. He could still feel the pressures of life. He could still, when they made fun of him, he could get embarrassed by it, and he could feel what it was like to be despised and hated. He could have all these emotions of humanity, yet the spirit down on the inside of him, he was constantly yielding himself to that spirit. Oh, if we could just yield more to the life that's on the inside of us. And keep in mind, when you wake up every morning, when you lay your head down on your pillow at night, this guy here is weak. This flesh is weak. This flesh, you stop praying for a month or two, and this flesh is going to go right back into a backslidden state if you don't die daily. I know some people don't believe that, don't believe that a Holy Ghost-filled person can backslide, but Brother Branham said they could. I don't think they can stay backslid. If they got the Holy Ghost, God will bring them back, or he'll take them home early. But you can backslide. If you quit your prayer life, you're headed for it. You're headed for things that'll creep in, and the old things that you laid down and got delivered of, all of a sudden, they'll begin to resurrect in your life. Why? Because the flesh is weak. And so that's why every day, don't fool yourself and think, well, I can handle that. I can handle the temptation. I can get around this. I can get around that. It don't bother me any. Oh, yes, it does, if you'll be honest with yourself. Amen. And so that's why you have to watch and pray. Amen. That you enter not into temptation, because the spirit, the nature of God on the inside is willing. God, I don't want to fall. God, I don't want to backslide. God, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to do those things that I used to do. But the spirit's right there, weak. Ready to fall if you'll let it. So watch and pray. Amen. Watch for those traps that are coming down the road, because the devil will set them for you. The devil don't care how he gets you. As my dad tells me all the time, Brother Jonathan, the devil don't care how he gets you. He just cares if he gets you, and he's right. Amen. He's right. The devil don't care if it takes 40 years to get you. He's just out to get you. He's desiring, like he was Peter, desiring to sift you as wheat. But I'm thankful that one greater than him prayed for us. Amen. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Now, some of you that have let the devil beat you up and say, well, I prayed 6 months ago, and I'm just waiting on God to answer my prayer, and I came up for prayer at the altar, 3 months ago, and I want to keep my faith and not do it again. Jesus went and prayed the same thing 3 times, the same man that said, pray not vain repetitions. So we don't just memorize a prayer and get up and just repeat the same thing every day. Just, Lord, help this one, help that one, Johnny down the street, and things like that. Have a little bit more of a real conversation with him than that. But it's okay to pray and ask God. In fact, Brother Branham, every time he gives us the type of the woman knocking at the unjust judge's door, don't get out of balance on these things. Amen. You keep praying and you keep asking and you keep seeking until he either shows you what you're looking for or shows you why he can't. Remember Paul, he prayed 3 times, and God said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. He said, okay, Lord, I'll take that. I'll take your word. I'll take you at that. But he didn't just give up the first time and say, well, I prayed and he didn't heal my eyes, so I guess that's just that. No, he kept knocking and he kept knocking until God either answered prayer or came and showed him why he wouldn't answer prayer. St. John chapter 14, verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Once again, the word made flesh, and here he comes, and he's going to show them the death, burial, and resurrection. And he tells them, because I live, because I, the Word made flesh, can live, you can live also. You're going to be the same thing. Again, St. John 14, verse 3, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In other words, if he's going to be in heaven, then you have a right to be in heaven too, because if the Word made flesh back there 2,000 years ago can enter, then the Word made flesh today can enter. St. John 15, verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. If they persecuted him, don't be upset or surprised when persecution comes your way. If they persecuted the word in flesh back there on the shores of Galilee, they're going to persecute the word in flesh again. And don't be surprised when you say something. I was just talking to Brother Trevor the other day about how us as ministers, sometimes, you know, things come up and it reminds us how careful we should be, because no matter how much I preach it and tell people, I'm not your absolute. I'm just here to point you back to what the Word said. If you're not careful, you'll have those that are hanging on your Word so much that just as they kept his sayings, they'll keep your sayings. And you have to be careful not to let just the personality or the preference or the conviction of Nathan Bryant come out and that be what I'm projecting to you, because there's going to be people that are going to say, oh, Brother Nathan feels that way. Well, I guess we just won't do that anymore. I guess we will. I guess it's okay now. No, no. You keep the word. You stay with the word. But if they've kept my sayings, they'll keep yours also. St. John 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Somebody said that was just for Brother Branham. That scripture applies only to Brother Branham. That's not what Jesus said. Right. If I read his words correctly, he says, he that believeth on me. Right. Amen. I believe Brother Branham is included in St. John 14, 12. Amen. He believed on him and he proved it. He backed it up and showed with his testimony and his vindication and the signs and wonders following that he believed on Jesus and that God backed up his words. But he didn't just say, if the prophet believe on me, the works that I do shall he do. But he that believeth on me, we're included in that tonight. Amen. These works that I do shall he do also. So what the word acted like back then, when the word began to manifest and you begin to see things and begin to witness to people and begin to see miracles and begin to see glimpses of deity being manifested there in Galilee, the same God is able to come and manifest himself again and do those same works through believers tonight. Yes. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You say, but Brother Nathan, the need is great, but the God is greater. Amen. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now remember, it can't be something contrary to the Spirit of God. It can't be something contrary to his word, because the Holy Spirit's not going to come and back up something contrary to his word. Say, oh Lord, Lord, you know I love that man, and here I am in this divorce condition. If you'd just kill his wife, Lord, that'd be wonderful. God's not going to answer a prayer like that. Because it's contrary to his word. So you pray according to his word. St. John, remember, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and have not because you ask amiss, James tells us. St. John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Again, St. John 16, verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Sometimes we don't receive big enough because we're not asking big enough. And I'm not talking about $1 million or, necessarily a bigger house unless you have a need for it. If you've got 14 kids in a one-bedroom house, then you have a need for a bigger house. God needs to provide for you and do something for you. Amen. But we don't just ask just because, well, I'm driving an $18,000 car and I'd like an $80,000 car. I don't think that's what he's talking about. But ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Don't just say, Lord, I know I know my loved one, that son or daughter of mine or uncle or aunt or mommy or daddy, they're backslidden. God, if you could just save them. No, don't just ask for him to save them. Ask him to fill them with the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, I know this one, you know, if you could just let them afford to have surgery, then maybe this, that, or the other. Oh, that's wonderful. I hope they can if that's the way God wants to heal them. But don't just pray for them to be able to afford surgery. Ask the great physician to come and heal them to where they don't need surgery.
Amen.
Ask that your joy may be full. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have. Wasn't a maybe so. Wasn't a hope so. Wasn't a think so. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye shall, that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. I think many times we limit God in our prayers. We pray like God's in a shoebox, like Brother Hoover was talking about. We've got him in a little bitty box, but I don't care how big your box is. It may be a Mars-sized box. It can't contain God.
Amen.
Amen. It is limitless what he can do and how he can move. I know I'm running out of time and already ran out of time, and I'm trying to stop, but the Holy Spirit's saying go, so you just bear with me, all right? I'm going to go if he's saying go. I'll maybe talk to you more about it, or at least to the young people. I went last week and spent a few days in Kentucky at Wilmore at Asbury College there. And they got a college, a Christian university on one side and a seminary on the other side of the road. And I began to go there to get away and spend some time with the Lord praying, but also to research some of the history of revival and things that have happened there. And I'll maybe share some of those things with you more in another service, or I might do a youth service along some of those lines or whatever, however the Lord leads. I'm not sure exactly yet, but I was amazed at some of the testimonies and things that happened there in the 1950s and the 1970s. This is a Methodist university. A Methodist university. And in 1950, there was a man who, he was the, I'm going to draw a blank now, a postmaster. He was the postmaster of the town there. And he was delivering some paper, and there was a lady that, or a man or a lady, I don't know which exactly, that had a newspaper that they got delivered from their hometown out of state somewhere. And so the mail would go around and deliver it. So he's delivering the mail, and he looks down at the front page of this newspaper, and he sees from this out of state newspaper on the front page of the newspaper, there's a headline that's talking about a revival in Wilmore, Kentucky. And he thinks, there's something going on in my hometown that has made the front page of a newspaper in another state. And so he delivers the newspaper and he goes up to the college, and they have a huge auditorium there called Hughes Auditorium, where they have chapel every day. And he gets ready to walk up the steps and to go into the chapel. And when he reaches and grabs a hold of the front door, he had no intention of being saved. This man was not a believer. This man didn't care anything about God. His family wasn't serving God. He had just seen an article in the newspaper and wanted to see what on earth made the headlines in another state from his own hometown. And he walks up the steps and he takes a hold of the front door handle. And he said, as soon as I grabbed a hold of the door handle, I knew I had to get to that altar in a Methodist university in 1950. If God can do that with the light that they had, what can he do for a group of believers that'll take God at his word? I had to apologize to God. Can I be real honest with you tonight? I had to apologize to God because I had limited him too much. Not in his miracles. I've seen him heal chronic ear pain that somebody had for 24 years by me taking my unworthy hands and taking a prayer cloth that Brother Brandon prayed for and laying it on a lady's ear in Finland. I've seen ear pain that had been for 23 years be healed like that. I've seen back problems be healed like that. People that had been in pain couldn't stand up straight for months and come in a prayer line and lay hands on them and pray for them and then be able to stand up with no pain like that. We've seen cancers drop off of people's heads. We've seen crooked spines come straight and the x-rays to prove it. We've seen God heal hepatitis. I don't limit him in his miracles as far as divine healing, but I had limited him, Brother Joel, in his ability to change people that I thought were unchangeable. I thought, no, they've been around it too long, Brother Hoover. If they was going to come, they would have come by now. If they was going to change, they would have changed by now. Oh, but I was reminded at a Methodist college, don't you limit God to what he can do and how he can move and who he can move through. Yes. Don't you do it tonight. Maybe you've got loved ones that are running as hard as they can run. Maybe you've got loved ones that have done stuff that you think, goodness gracious, how could they ever be there? Don't limit my God. Amen. Ask abundantly that your joys can be filled. Don't limit him tonight. Pray like Jesus prayed. Pray mountain-moving prayers. And then don't give up because you don't see the whole mountain move the next morning when you wake up and look out the window. Amen. He didn't say when he'd move the mountain. He said the mountain would move. Not with giant-slaying faith. With the grain of a mustard seed faith would move a mountain. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. I'm trying real hard to close, and I got two quotes I want to read before I do, but I want to share one more story. Brother Tim Pruitt tells a story about that happened there at their church, a young man that's serving the Lord now, but he was backslidden, and I think some of the brothers may have told it here before, so most of you may have heard it, but I'm telling it again tonight for the glory of God. But they were having church, and the presence of God fell in the service, and service went long, and there was people at the altar, and a little girl comes up in the prayer line and says, I want to pray for my brother because he's backslid and he's running from God, and I want to see God. I wish he was here tonight. I want to see God move in his life. And about that time, it was about 11 o'clock at night, service had went on and went on and went on, so it's not quite that late tonight, all right? Amen. The Holy Spirit may be moving in a different way, but he's moving. Amen. I'm not smart. I don't have a college education, but I'm smart enough to know when he's moving, okay? And he's speaking to hearts tonight through somebody that's not worthy of him to speak through, but he's speaking anyhow. And they begin to pray, and about 11 o'clock at night, this boy wakes up in his bed, and he's in his pajamas, and nobody's home. And so he begins to call their cell phones, but they're still in church, and thank God their cell phones was turned off. And he begins to call some of the other believers, and he can't get a hold of them, and he begins to panic, and he thinks, I've missed the rapture. I can't get a hold of anybody. Everybody I should be able to get a hold of, I can't get a hold of them. Everybody that should be here should be here. And he jumps in his car, and he takes off driving, and he's driving, and he's in his pajamas, and he's trying not to run off the road, and he actually runs off of the road into the church parking lot, and he runs through the back door, and there they are praying for him at the altar. Don't limit God and say that was for somebody else's loved one. No, God can move like that. Amen. I see glimpses of him beginning to move, Brother Stephen. I see glimpses of revival beginning to start, and a little fear creeps in. Oh, you'll be fanatical, or no. Oh, what will somebody say? Or is that really God, or is that just me getting worked up in the flesh? Don't you let the devil keep you out of revival. That was in a message church. But in 1970 there in Wilmore, people was coming and the presence of God falling. I don't have time to tell the whole story tonight, but I will tell you this. The majority of the students there was about 1,000 students on the campus. And before it was all said and done, the majority of them had consecrated their lives to God, and it began to spread out around the rest of the country. And I think in 1950, Sister Lori's mother was there on the campus when this began to happen. I didn't know that, Sister Lori, until Brother Hoover told me the other day. And she still, I think Brother Steve still has the newspaper, the editorials and things from that time, from right there on the campus that they were printing. But in the 70s there, when the Holy Spirit fell, there was a group of about 10 boys that they were coming hard against it and making fun of it and hear God moving. They stayed in the chapel hour after hour and day after day, and some would leave to go get showers and eat, and there'd still be hundreds at the altar, and then more would come in from other states, and God was moving in this way. And there was about 10 boys that were fighting really hard against it, and the leader of those boys, I think he was a pastor's boy that was backslidden, and there's five boys that was there said, hey, let's go to the basement and join in prayer and agree that the same God that's dealing with all these other people that had no interest in God can deal with those boys. And they went to the basement and they began to join together in prayer for those young men, and here comes the leader through the back door, and he said, I don't even know why I'm here. And a man said, because there's five boys in the basement that's praying for you. And he got up and began to testify after he gave his heart to God, and he said, I know there's some that are coming against it, but they're dropping like flies. in a Methodist university. And if God could do that with the fraction of truth, not to make fun of them, thank God that they're walking in the light that they can see, but we've walked into more light than that, and we let our differences, well, they go to this church, and they believe this way, and they came out of this, and they came out of that, and oh my, don't limit God to who he can move on or who he can move through. Amen. God is moving. God is looking for somebody that'll have the faith to break out of their shackles of tradition and say, you know what, God, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe you can save anybody that you have a desire to save. I'm going to believe that you can heal anybody that you have a desire to heal. And I believe if I have the desire that you care because I care, and that if I have a burden on my heart for somebody, that you're able to do the same thing that you did for me at Brother Tim Pruitt's church. And you're able to do the same thing for me that you could do at a Methodist college, that you can convict my loved ones. That you can heal my loved ones. That you can save my loved ones. Oh my, they can run, but they can't hide. They're dropping like flies. The fundamental foundation for faith, 1955, Jesus said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. Did you ever realize what that means? I know I've read this quote here before, but we're going to read it again tonight. And in this atmosphere, I hope we'll take him at his word tonight. Do you realize if we go before God in the name of Jesus, it's just the same as Jesus himself praying? It isn't me praying anymore. If I come in his name and he recognizes his name, and Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I do. And then I go to the Father in Jesus' name. It isn't me praying anymore. It's Jesus. It's his Spirit praying through me. When you're praying for that lost loved one, you think that's the devil that would anoint you to pray for them? When you're praying for that sick person that Satan has bound up their body or their mind, or maybe he's scarred them emotionally and they're so hurt and they're so bitter and they're just so torn up by things in their past, and God places that person, a burden on your heart for that person, and you begin to pray, you think the devil would place that burden on your heart? Not a chance in the world. So take him at his word tonight. When you pray, recognize this isn't just somebody from Kentucky or Indiana or Ohio or wherever you originated, South Dakota or Minnesota or whatever Oda it is. This is a believer that's taking God at his word, and the Holy Spirit is anointing me and quickening to me and placing this burden on my heart to pray for this person. And when I pray and ask it in Jesus' name, then that's not just a Kentuckian or an Indiana Hoosier or whatever it would be that's praying, but that's the same one that prayed on the shores of Galilee for Peter and said, I prayed for you, Peter. Satan's trying to sift you, but I prayed that your faith be not hindered. Amen. He's speaking through you tonight. It's the same Jesus. He said, and then I've got to receive what I ask for, because he said it. And it's God's own word. It can't do nothing else but produce just what it said. Amen. Spiritual Food in Due Season, 1965. What if he stood here in our presence right now? You may not be able to see him in a physical body, but I believe he is. Amen. What if he stood in our presence right now? He would act and do just exactly like he'd done the days when he was in flesh here on the earth. The bride is part of the husband. The church is the same as Christ. The work that I do, shall you do also? Oh, doesn't that just let you take a deep sigh of relief to hear Brother Branham say it? No, it wasn't just me that said that was for the bride too. The bride is part of the husband. The church is the same as Christ. The works that I do, shall you do also. And it is the word that done it. He told us that the things that he did, that we would do also. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Increase our faith, Lord. Musicians and Brother Furman, before you all come up to your instruments, just stand there by somebody. Whatever would build your faith more tonight. If you want to walk up here to the front, you're welcome to come around the altar if that's going to build your faith more. If you can have your faith built just as much standing there in your pew, then just stand where you're at. But put your hand over on somebody tonight and let's agree together. Let's agree together that Jesus Christ is still the same. He's still the same here tonight. We take him at his word tonight. Maybe you've got needs. Maybe you've got loved ones like the ones we talked about here tonight. Maybe you've got sickness in your body or the body of some loved one that you're praying for. Maybe you've got financial circumstances that you don't see any way around. Or maybe you've got something that you've been struggling with that the devil has tried to beat you up about and tried to rob you of your victory and lie to you and tell you you'll never overcome that thing. But I want to say the same one that stood there and spoke to Legion and loosed him is here tonight. The same one that healed the crippled and the lame and the blind and the deaf and the dead, raised them back to life, he's here tonight. The same one that could restore families and the same one that could restore the sinner, the prodigals, back to a living reality of Jesus Christ. He's here tonight, a present tense God. Why don't we talk to him about it tonight and agree together for these things? Dear Jesus, oh Lord, we take you at your word tonight. Lord, we lift up these petitions that are on our hearts for loved ones. And Lord, for those that are backslidden, for those that are sick in body, for those that are struggling with addictions or temptations, for those that are discouraged and depressed and depleted, and those that have got bitter over hurts in their life, Lord, we lift them up before you. Maybe it's us ourselves that have the need, Lord, or maybe it's somebody else you placed on our heart. Lord, whatever the situation, whoever it would be, Lord, you're able to move on the scene again tonight. We take you at your word. You said to ask it in your name, and you would do it. Lord, your prophet told us that when we ask it in your name, that is the same as you praying it. Lord, if you were here in the body that you walked in Galilee, the word made flesh, and you could walk up here to the front and take this microphone from my hands, Lord, I believe we would take you at every word that you said. Lord, we wouldn't worry, we wouldn't question, we wouldn't doubt, we would take it. Lord, we would take you at your word, but Lord, you're moving again in flesh. Lord, you're anointing flesh again tonight, not just my flesh, but the flesh of these that are here tonight. The word being made flesh again in our age, Father. Lord, just a portion of it, not the fullness like it was with you, but yet, Lord, it's the same chemical life of Jesus Christ living in the believer. Lord, may you quicken their faith. May they take you at your word tonight, Father. May they receive what they ask for, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we take you at your word. Lord, we don't ever want to limit you, Father. We take you at your word, Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Sister Stephanie, I know you was playing the organ tonight, but would you come sing a miracle in the making for us?
Yes.
Amen. I believe there's a miracle in the making. Oh, he's real.
Hallelujah.
He's here tonight.
Hallelujah.
He's a present tense God. Whatever you have need of, he's here. Don't let him pass you by. It's not just another Wednesday night. Amen. It's not special because Brother Nathan preached a sermon. It's special because I believe God is stirring our hearts and waking us up to some of these things that have laid right here all along. They've been right here in the word, but there's going to be a group of people that takes God at his word and says, hey, that's more than just a story from Cana of Galilee. That's more than just a story from Milltown, Indiana, or from Jeffersonville when Brother Branham was here in the 50s or the 60s. That's God's word. It's eternal. It's for me today. Amen. Let's worship him together. Help Sister Stephanie as she sings it. Just worship him in his presence tonight. He's worthy of our worship. Up your hand tonight and say, Lord, I accept my miracle.
There
make it personal tonight. Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently sing our our hearts in one accord.
sometimes. Hallelujah. Sometimes praise the Lord. Sometimes gently singing. Our hearts in one
and cleanse each spot.
It's been good to be in church. Amen. He's changing lives. Amen. Working miracles. He's a miracle-working God. Amen. You say, well, I haven't seen a miracle in a while, Brother Nathan. Look around. I see a lot of them. I see a lot of them. I see where God has brought people from. And some of them slow, some of them fast, some of them steady. God's changing lives. As I said tonight, we've seen great miraculous things, God healing bodies, but the greatest thing that I've seen is to see the ones before me tonight, that some that were running, some that were struggling, some that were hurt, to see God come and water those hearts and what he's done. Oh, how blessed we are. Amen. Let's sing this together. I know it's a little later than normal. You can be dismissed if you want. We want to say thank you, Jesus, for all the grace you have given us. Though I can't repent from my heart, Lord, I'd like to say that I've I think. Let's just thank Him tonight. Thank You, Jesus. We praise You, Lord. Tonight, sing it this way. Oh Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. I take You at Your word, Lord, that all things are possible. Yes, Lord, I believe. Oh, oh. Let's sing it this way. Make it personal. Lord, I receive. Oh, Lord, I receive. For all things are possible. Oh, Lord, I receive. Play that softly tonight. Night after night, that song will welcome a humble Kentuckian to the pulpit. He'd come and say, good evening, friends. Good evening, friends. I love to hear that voice. Some people make fun of it. Some people say we're following a man. I'm thankful that God sent a man that I could understand. Not big, complicated, swelling words. I didn't have to go to college for 50 years of seminary to understand what he said. He'd stand there and talk to the people. The Holy Spirit would anoint his lips. And he'd say, now I'm just like this microphone. I'm just a mute. He'd say, I'm just as helpless can be. Then turn around and say, now he's here. I take every spirit under my control. Amen. I know we don't have that same anointing that he had as a messenger. But that same Jesus Christ that was there back then, he's here tonight. Somebody said, Brother Nathan, you didn't play a tape tonight. You shouldn't have sang that song. That's Brother Branham's song. Well, ask the Holy Spirit not to lay it on my heart next time then. Take it up with him. Amen. I believe it's the bride's song. The bride believes. Amen. The bride came out of darkness and tribulation and false doctrine and worldlyism and addictions and all kinds of things, man-made creeds, because we believe. I'm so thankful. You hear of ones falling away to the left and to the right, and I thank God. I'm so thankful to believe in this age. Only sweet presence here. I don't feel led to sing anything else. Just let them keep playing that. If you want to stay and pray, you're welcome. If you need to leave, we understand. Amen. I'm just going to stay a little while and enjoy this presence of God. Amen. God bless you.